Moncrief on News Talk.
Whether it's a weekend away with your best friends, a family adventure, or a big group escape, group holidays can be some of the most memorable trips we ever take, but they can also come with their fair share of planning, opinions, and occasionally drama. So on a group holiday, can you ever really keep everyone happy? I'm joined now by Joan Scales, travel writer and broadcaster, to talk more. Hello, Joan.
Hi, Fionnuala. Thanks very much for having me on.
Why choose group travel in the first place? What are the benefits?
Well, the benefits, well, I think, apart from anything else, they're getting more popular nowadays. Mm. A lot more people are travelling as a group. There's more access to group travel as well. And of course, people have more money to spend, you know, so they want to do things. And I think group travel fits very well in with relationships as well. If you both have different things that you like to do, one person wants to go skiing and someone else wants to go and do the Camino, then there's an opportunity now to go separately and do those things, join a group. I think it also fits in very well with people's interests. I'll tell you what's really huge here in Ireland is country music. And the country music holidays are really popular. So Castry Traff will sell out the country music events they do down in the Costa del Sol. The Celtic Woman cruises apparently are huge as well. So anything where you have an activity or an interest is definitely encouraging people to go to a group, because apart from anything else, you've something to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, if you're all going out skiing every day and you're up on a mountain, that even doesn't matter what level of skiing you're at. You can all be at 10 different levels. But in the evening, you've got something to talk about.
Yeah.
So you can have a good laugh together and share an experience. The same goes for music tours. The Camino, of course, is massively big nowadays. That's all group travel. People going off with strangers. And one of the advantages when you go with the group is that you don't have to worry about where you're going to stay, who's going to carry a bag. So that's really helped the growth of group travel as well. And then we have the companies that specialise in group travel. You know, people like, I mean, the travel department are 30 years going this year.
Amazing.
Which is amazing. Yeah. You know, I've done some of their tours over the years. And I mean, when they started, I remember when they started, they came in to me in the Irish Times and told me what they're going to do. And I was thinking, oh, I don't know if there's a big enough market for that. But I've been proved completely
there
wrong.
There you go. 30 years still going.
And growing.
Yeah, and growing.
Absolutely.
So what are some things that people need to keep in mind when they're considering group travel? Or, you know, as you said, they want to go on this big country western holiday. Like, what are the things that they should be factoring in, keeping in mind? Like, what differentiates a good group trip to a bad one?
Well, I think the important thing is to do a bit of research. You know, have a good idea of what you want to do, and also to look at the companies that are doing the things that you like. The important thing is, you know, get a feel for what they're doing and maybe talk to some other people who've already been on the trips. For these kind of trips, you really will be going through a travel agent or a tour operator. So they're very experienced. So if you have any questions, always ask. The things to look out for maybe are if a group is too big.
Yeah, I was going to ask that because I think, again, maybe sometimes you can think more is more and God will meet all these people. And surely if the group is that big, they'll have a good wrangle on it. But I suppose that probably isn't going to suit every person travelling either.
If a group is too big, then I think that can be difficult, because if you're going on, say you're going on somewhere where there'd be tours and you're on a walking tour and there's 60 of it, you can't hear, the people at the back can't hear what's going on.
Yeah.
So watch out for the size of the group. Also the demographic across the group, you know, the ages as well, that you're going to go away with. A group trip is also something where you can go with your friends and your partners as well. It doesn't have to be you on your own.
Yeah.
You know, go with someone, you know, that you like.
Yeah.
So you have a buddy as well.
Can there be an increased cost, though, with this? Because obviously you are kind of paying for the convenience.
Well, if you're travelling alone, yes, there's always the dreaded single supplement. I mean, it's been around forever. But the only thing I will console people with is the single supplement is starting to become something of the past. A lot more companies are dropping the single supplements. Cruise companies now are dropping the single supplement. Not completely, but they're offering a lot more cabins. And then next year, Riviera Travel, they do gorgeous river cruises around Europe. they're going to have, some of their crews are going to be solos only. Mm. So there'll be no single supplement at all.
Okay.
You know, so it depends, but do ask about the single supplement. But there are definitely a lot more availability for singles, and particularly if you book early.
Okay.
Say, I know some of the cruise ships will have maybe 25% of cabins will be singles only, or not necessarily singles only. Sometimes I know Lupinant told me they do really nice expedition cruises, and they told me their singles cabins are not really about people being on their own. A lot of times it could be people going together,
yeah,
and say, oh, well, I want to have my own cabin.
Want
so
my
you have
own
a group
space.
Of friends,
yeah,
who want to have their own space.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, look into, but a lot of that stuff is early booking.
Okay.
So you need to be a bit organised and have a good idea.
Be all of. We've had a text in. Could Joan recommend the best travel agents to go with in Ireland for the Camino? Do you have any recommendations there?
Yeah, well, I do actually. I'd tell you, Uwalk, the letter uwalk.ie, they're based in Navan. They're very experienced. They've been doing it for more than 20 years, and they probably would have been one of the first companies to get into doing the Camino. And I've done some of the Camino myself, and I have to say it's a wonderful experience.
Mm.
And if somebody was thinking about that, so there's uwalk.ie. There's also Camino Ways. They've been doing it a long time as well, more than 20 years as well. So they're both companies that are very experienced in the Camino. And I would say to people, one of the nice things about the Camino is you can go on your own or you go with friends.
Mm.
And even if you go on your own or go with friends, you meet other people.
Yeah.
People are very friendly and they'll talk to you along the way.
Yeah, you'll meet a lot of people on the way along the way, I'd imagine. What are the pitfalls of group travel then, though? Because if you are with a group or on a tour, you can be kind of limited in terms of time and schedule.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, because I've done a lot of these over the years, and I've even organised my own friend groups and stuff, there's always someone who holds the group up. There's always one person still in the shower when everybody else is standing, sitting on the coach,
yeah,
getting ready to go. That's one of the pitfalls. Then there's the different kind of personality types you can have. You know, you have the early riser, the late sleeper, the one who stays in the bar late at night. Then you have the person who wants to stop for ages at every viewpoint and take loads of photographs.
Yeah.
While everybody's sitting there saying, Jesus, come on, let's go. And then the person who wants to sit in a cafe all day doesn't understand the timetable.
Yeah.
You know, so that's one of the pitfalls as well, the different types of personalities. And then, of course, you can't escape the group.
Well, I was going to say as well, it's probably as much as obviously these are great. And again, if you have a specific interest, yeah, great to meet the like-minded people and stuff like that. I know socially for me, I think I'd come back from a group holiday needing another holiday because I haven't had my designated alone time, yeah, in the room, you know.
I have a friend and she goes regularly on group trips. She's single, and the way she finds that works for her is she doesn't do the tours every day.
Okay.
She gives herself maybe every second day, she does her own thing. She said, I don't care if I'm paying for it.
Yeah.
I'm going to have some time to myself. And she quite likes to have those days where she'll go off exploring herself and she'll take time to herself. And I think that can be a good way of enjoying the trip. But you're right. Yeah, you come back. A lot of times if you go on a group trip, it's busy.
Mm.
You're doing lots of things. There's lots of activities. You're busy from morning till night. It can be tiring. And
yep,
yes, you do come back thinking, wow, I think I'll just talk to nobody for a few days.
Isn't that the trade-off for making great new friends, I suppose?
It is. And then one of the things about group holidays is you get to do something that you really want to do. You're going to have an experience that maybe might be difficult to do, to put it together. Like I talked to your researcher there, Kate. Kate went to Costa Rica recently and she had a wonderful time with her friend. But it would have been difficult for her to do it on her own.
Yeah.
So going with a group worked out really well. Two young women on their own felt safe. So from that point of view, group travel is brilliant. And if you're thinking of Costa Rica, Trailfinders have a 10-day Costa Rica holiday for $18.99, which, yeah, I think is really good value when you think how far away it is.
I know people say the same thing about Japan. How do you know someone's been to Japan? They'll,
yeah,
tell you. And I went earlier this year for my honeymoon. We organised it ourselves, but I can imagine that is such, you can really have any type of holiday you want. And sometimes I imagine it is easier to hand it off to someone else and,
yeah,
go.
Yeah, but we have, there's a company called Wendy Wu, that's Wendy Wu Tours, and they've actually opened an office here in Ireland recently, and they've been doing the Faris for the last, I don't know, 50 years. But they're experts in China, Japan, Southeast Asia. Now, they do worldwide holidays as well. But one of the things they're doing here in Ireland, which I think is a great idea, if you were thinking of going somewhere exotic, they have these information days where you can come along. Yeah, and they'll have people who talk to you.
Yeah.
And tell you what to expect, what the destination is like. You can talk to group leaders and stuff. So that's wendywootours.ie.
That's a good idea.
If you're thinking where some are really exotic. Yeah,
and also to try and figure out maybe if this type of trip is for you. I have another text in here. Hoping to go to Lourdes in November for 3 days. Could Joanne recommend a travel agent? The ones I've looked at, a few, but it's coming in at over 1,000 for 3-night flights and accommodation. It seems very expensive.
That does seem very expensive now. For Lourdes, a lot of times you'd find that the better value holidays to Lourdes are with parish groups.
Okay.
And I would say to them to have a look in their local parish or their local area if there's a group going out to Lourdes, because generally they're much cheaper.
Okay.
You know, they do good value trips.
Okay. In terms of tour guides then, how do we know that a tour guide knows their onions? How do we make sure that we're not booking something that actually kind of isn't up to scratch? We're not actually learning anything or experiencing anything
from
this tour?
Well, that's why I say go with the tour operator or travel agent, because they will make sure that the guides who are looking after you, who are bringing you out for your trips and doing the various things that you're doing, not only are they licensed, but they also have the experience and they also know what they're talking about. So I would say don't go with anyone who isn't, you know, a licensed tour operator or travel agent.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing I'll say about the travel department. I've gone on a number of tours with them. The guides are always fantastic and they have a great reputation for having really good guides.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, the guides have been with them for years.
Yeah.
And years, you know. So really do look at who you're going to book with first.
Yeah, you really can't beat just that years and years of experience, I suppose. Joan Scales, travel writer and broadcaster, thank you so much for that and all those great tips.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.